fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday. Let's kick off with a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Sudan's new Women's Club Football League, which kicked off this week. 21-year-old Marilyn Zakaria is one of the players in the 21-team league. She came from South Sudan to Khartoum to follow her football dream. But Zakaria is worried about whether Sudan's conservative society will accept women's football after years of restrictions. Naba Mohideen reports from Khartoum.
Marilyn Zakaria has been passionate about playing soccer since she was a child. The 21-year-old left her family in South Sudan to pursue the sport in Sudan, where a new women's league began play this week. Marilyn says she was playing in Wau, Bahar Ghazali State, then came to Khartoum and joined Tahaddi team with coach Sarah Edward. Before the league started, she had some issues with the school, so she stopped and then moved from Tahaddi to Kurnook team. It took 3 decades of battling obstacles and objections to launch the Women's League, which is sponsored by Sudan's Ministry of Youth and Sports. It's still not easy for some of the women players. Zakaria says she hears insults whenever she wears her football uniform in public, and gets comments about her short hair too. One of the difficulties I always face is that I love to wear the football suit when I go for the training. People bully me by saying, am I a boy or a girl? And why I look like this? And why we look masculine? They also say even men couldn't win cups, so we won't do anything. Critics of the Women's League are also active on social media. Politician Ihsan Fagiri thinks that is because the Islamist government of former President Omar al-Bashir restricted women's rights for so long. Fagiri says it's because when the former government came to power, it targeted women with laws and local public orders to send them back to home. I don't think it's non-acceptance. She says it's more like an accumulated social culture for 30 years. We need to change it, she adds. Due to concerns the games would cause unrest, riot police have been on hand for the opening matches. However, national coach Alaa Mahmoud said the games have come off without any problems. Mahmoud says he didn't expect that both females and males will attend the matches, but it happened and everything is going well up to now. He hopes for the league to continue the same way it started and hopes to form a national team in order to represent Sudan worldwide. Zakaria says her mother supported her dream and convinced her father to embrace it too before she came to Khartoum. She hopes that in the aftermath of Sudan's revolution, people will change their minds about what women should be allowed to do and will cheer them as they play football. Naba Mohideen for VOA News, Khartoum.
My name is Jean Seninde with Queen's Park Rangers Women and the Uganda National Team. Listen to Sunny Side of Sport with Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More African football news on the Voice of America's Sunny Side of Sports show. Former Morocco captain Mehdi Benacha has announced his retirement from international football. The 32-year-old defender is currently based in Qatar with the club Al Duhail. Benacha made 62 international appearances for the Atlas Lions of Morocco and scored 2 goals. A tall and strong center back, Benacha represented Morocco at 4 Africa Cup of Nations tournaments, including this year's competition in Egypt. He also played at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. In announcing his international retirement, Benacha thanked Moroccan fans for their support, saying, and I quote, "In more than 10 years since being selected, I experienced joy and sorrow, but what I will remember most is the love of the Moroccan people." Elsewhere in African football, Guinea's new French manager, Didier Six, has named a 23-man team for friendly international matches this month against the Comoros Islands and Chile. Guinea will go against the Indian Ocean Islanders on October 12th in France, and then play Chile on October 15th in Spain. Among those coach six named is former captain Florentin Pogba, the older brother of Manchester United star Paul Pogba. Florentin Pogba is currently based here in the United States with Atlanta United, the reigning Major League Soccer champion. The world champion U.S. women's national soccer team beat South Korea Thursday night 2-0 in an international friendly match played in Charlotte, North Carolina. Allie Long and Mallory Pugh had the goals for the American women, who won their 17th consecutive game. And Jill Ellis earned her 106th victory as coach of the USA women, passing the late Tony DiCicco for most wins with the team. The United States will host South Korea again on Sunday in another friendly at Soldier Field in Chicago. It will be Ellis's last match in charge of the American women. She announced she was stepping down shortly after leading the USA to its second consecutive Women's World Cup title in France in July. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafo. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Rugby World Cup action Friday, South Africa beat Italy 49-3 to move to the top of Pool B with 10 points. The match at Shizuoka Stadium in Japan was billed as a slippery fixture for the two-time world champions from South Africa. A loss to the Italians, and the proud South African Springboks were facing a Rugby World Cup group stage exit for the first time. But the Springboks were thoroughly in control on Friday, and their head coach, Rassie Erasmus, praised his boys for a dominant performance.
I think the boys are obviously now in playoff mode. Our team understands that we're under pressure. And, you know, we, we sort of accepted that now, and we're going to live by that now for the next couple of weeks, and I guess we'll get used to that after a while. But no, now the next challenge is there, and the next challenge is there, but I think well done to our boys. I think they handled it well tonight.
Coach Erasmus talks about the next challenge for his boys. Well, the Springboks will wrap up group stage play on October 8th when they play winless Canada in Kobe, Japan. South Africa looks very likely to go through to the quarterfinals now. The captain of the Springboks is flanker Siya Kolisi.
Lots of pride. I'm really proud of the boys. We've been working really hard, and it's been a tough couple of weeks. I think the way that we regrouped, and especially our coaching staff and our management, have really been backing us and giving us, you know, as much information as possible. And the way we responded today was really good.
And here are a few fun facts about South Africa's Rugby World Cup captain, Siya Kolisi. The 28-year-old Kolisi is the first black man to captain the Springboks in an international rugby match. Kolisi captained the Springboks for the first time last year in a series against England. And Kolisi's story very much has a rags-to-riches quality about it. Siya Kolisi was born into poverty and raised by his grandmother in a township of Port Elizabeth. In African athletics, one of our big stories this week was Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele nearly adding another world record to his remarkable running resume. Kenenisa clocked 2 hours, 1 minute, and 41 seconds to win the BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. His time is only 2 seconds off the world record set by Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge on the same Berlin course last year. Kenenisa remains the world record holder at both 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kenenisa Bekele the day after his Berlin triumph. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to their conversation. Here's Andy.
Kenenisa, you've had just about 24 hours now to think about your achievement. Fantastic race, fantastic win in Berlin. My question, firstly, is what made the difference? I mean, we would read about you having injury problems the last couple of years, dropping out of Amsterdam Marathon. And to be honest, a lot of people who report track and field would have thought this might have been your final race. You know, if it didn't go well, you think, well, you've achieved so much already. So what made the change from dropping out of races to going to within 2 seconds of the world record and a fantastic marathon?
Because of injury, I was struggling with injury few years. For a long time, you know, out from big performing in any race because of injury. Now I'm doing well, you know, in rehabilitation and, you know, treatment. I treated well my injury.
Did you spend more time to prepare for Berlin in Holland rather than Ethiopia, and working more closely with Jos? Was that the difference?
Yes, I has some disbalancing in my body, my hip area. You know, my body was not balanced before I went to Holland. In Holland, completely we changed that disbalance to right position, and I work out there some months, like 2 months around there. I make good rehabilitation with physiotherapy, especially with Peter. He's a really good physio and a good advisor. I want to thank him also.
It sounds like, in a way, you got your old body back, or you got in balance again. And did you then find you could do sessions which you couldn't do before for a long time?
I was tried, but, you know, sometimes you miss the way. When you miss the way, you are... It's difficult to become on the right direction. So my problem was maybe before I couldn't really stick with the program and sacrifice, you know, give all my time to do, to change, to solve that problem. But now I focus 100% and try to change these things. So
everybody now, even though it's 24 hours after your Berlin win in athletics, is going to be thinking, well, when can we see you and Eliud Kipchoge on the start line of a marathon, wherever it is in the world, for the thrill of the contest, the rivalry, but also who knows what time they might run? Is that something you also look forward to?
I'm very happy if I run again with Eliud Kipchoge, anywhere, soon or whatever. I'm ready for that. So doesn't matter, you know. I'm very happy.
I'm sure we'd all look forward to it. Were there times in the last few years, after you won Berlin in 2016, that you thought you might retire because of the injuries and you weren't producing the performances that you had done?
Yeah, when you injured, when you discouraged, because if you are not healthy, in full healthy condition, you have some problem, you know, with healthy and not doing what you want. It was big discouragement for me because of I was struggling. I was trying to fix. Sometimes after fixing, maybe when I said I fixed it, the thing is become again, you know, happening a different injury. So
when you were talking at the press conference before the race, you said, well, I've had 3 months preparation. It's not as long as I wanted. But I wonder now whether you've run 201.41, whether 3 months, you know, a shorter preparation than for some marathon runners might suit you, Kenenisa Bekele, and your body. What do you think? A shorter preparation?
This coach, you know, the team I join now, I join a new team. I'm doing training with, you know, number one in Ethiopia, number one team with Haji Group. Haji Hussein, you know, he was told me when I remember that during I ran on Chicago Marathon, I was fourth place and my time not so good. So he was there with other athletes. He was told me that when I was sad after the finishing race, look, Kenenisa, believe or not, you will break record, you know. This marathon record in the future is yours. Believe or not, trust me, you will do it. 100% I trust, you know, in your capacity, everything. So now again, you know, I feel something. He was joking to me or how. And then now when I joined his group after a few years, he was told me again, similar thing. Kenenisa, believe in yourself. From half, even half marathon, you will run faster ever, you know, in marathon. You have this capacity. Believe in yourself. We will do it. Just we work together, you will do it now. Also, when I came for this race, he was told me, your preparation is not 100%, short time. Just to go and bring some results.
Well, it certainly worked that way, if that short preparation. Kenenisa Bekele, I think the whole marathon world is so excited now. What you do, what Eliud can do, and of course a lot of other fine runners. Wonderful to see you racing in Berlin, and congratulations again. Thank you, Kenenisa.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Ethiopian star Kenenisa Bekele in Berlin, Germany. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The Nigeria Basketball Federation says it hopes to see its women's national team qualify for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Nigeria's men's national basketball team, nicknamed the Tigers, already has booked its ticket to Japan. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Federation President Musa Kida.
You can imagine after winning the AfroBasket a month and a half ago in Senegal, back-to-back defending their title and winning it. It was On that high, it was also confirmed that we would need to go through two or three qualifying windows for the qualifiers for the Olympics for the women. There is no exception in the world. There is no automatic qualification, so everybody will have to go through it. What we know, at the end of the third qualifying window, there will be two African countries that will participate in order for Africa to be represented by one country or two, depending on the results of those countries. So my hope is that we will be still number one in Africa, just like we have always been with our women for the last 2 years, and be the representatives or the leading representatives from Africa in the Olympics. In terms of preparations, yes, we have had very, very useful meetings with the new Minister of Sports, who has been very, 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 very encouraging, very helpful. He has offered us a lot of support morally. And he has also told us that the funding situation that we always found ourselves in will be a thing of the past. You know, so again, on that, we are making very elaborate preparations also, so that we make sure that we, for the first time in the history of the country, have both men and women going to the same Olympics.
For the Olympic Games, what kind of great matches do you plan for the national team?
I'm coming back with a lot of complimentary cards from China. There are already countries that I have spoken to the presidents of the federations of those countries, where we have already started agreeing on some format of friendlies before the Olympics. Clearly, Iran is one of them. I know Argentina is very, very interested also in playing with us. I'm imagining very well the U.S. Is just by the side. They would want to take on us just like I think they did in the last Olympics also as preparation to the Olympics. So again, we have attracted the world's attention. I think people are using us now as a yardstick on how they can perform in the Olympics. So I'm very, very proud of that. And I think going forward, we can only really get better.
In terms of rating, how would you rate Nigeria's main national team at the FIBA World Cup and lessons learned from there?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I will just confess that going into the World Cup, my expectation of the team was that we would finish in the single digits, meaning between 1 to 9. Hopefully the semifinals, but surely the quarterfinals at the minimum. Our game against Russia cost us a lot. You know, that was really what took us out of that bracket. But coming off that match, I think we did learn a very hard lesson, and you can see that we played well for most part of the tournament afterwards. So generally, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would put our boys at 6.5, 7, which is very, very high if you compare it to the level of competition that we were exposed to in China. And I'm hoping also that going into the Olympics, that I can even rate our team even much higher.
That's Musa Keita, the president of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Musa Keita. I'm the president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation. I'm also the secretary general of Zone 3 FIBA in Africa. I'm also a new member of the FIBA Finance Commission. And I want to say a special shout out to Sunnyside of Sports. Thank you.
Finally, in National Basketball Association news, the Indiana Pacers edged the Sacramento Kings 132-131 in overtime on Friday in a preseason game played in Mumbai, India. It was the first ever NBA game in India, and according to the NBA, it's the first time teams from a North American sports league have ever played in India. Forward T.J. Warren had a game-high 30 points for the Pacers. Guard Buddy Hield led the Kings with 28 points. The Pacers and the Kings will play again on Saturday in Mumbai as the NBA continues to branch out and market its brand all around the world. And that wraps up the October 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Some people think the universe is just a wild assortment of celestial objects, like planets, stars, and galaxies. But scientists have found evidence that the universe is actually interconnected, like an enormous spider web. Research suggests galaxies are connected to one another with filaments or streams of hot, thin, ionized gas in what scientists call the cosmic web. A team of astronomers led by the Riken Cluster for Pioneering Research has found that cosmic web filaments connecting galaxies in a large and distant protocluster are quite widespread and extend over more than 1 million parsecs, or 3 million light years. The astronomers also found that the streams of hot gas are providing fuel for the intense formation of stars and are spurring the growth of supermassive black holes within the protocluster some 12 billion light years away. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA.